Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of In the Crease with Danny and Kevin, a coast-to-coast discussion of D2 men's lacrosse. I'm your co-host, Kevin Stensrum, and with me, as always, is the squire of D2 lacrosse, Danny Moran. Hey, Danny.
Hey, Kev. How's it going tonight in Northern Virginia? What's happening?
It's cold. We did get a little snow, not a lot. It's already gone, but we got a little snow, like you said up there. You got the brunt of it up in New York, but we got a little bit of it looked like maybe a half inch, and then it all melted away.
We got slammed. It was like a 5-6 hour storm, and upstate got like about a foot. We got about 5 inches, but a lot of it's gone already. But it's supposed to tonight. It's supposed to freeze tonight. So
So
winter time.
Yeah. Sucks. Yeah.
I hate it.
I know. I hear you. I'll tell you, growing up in New England, like I did, I almost feel if it's going to be really cold, I might as well have snow on the ground. Yeah. But I'm also at the point in my life where I just don't want it to be cold.
Yeah, man. That's why, that's why old guys like me and you move to Florida when it's, so our bones don't hurt no more.
Yeah. I tell you what, I did go for a run today, Toe. So you got to give me out in the cold. But see, it was almost 40 degrees by the time I went running. So, and
yeah, I ran to the bathroom this morning. That was about it.
There you go. Was it cold or warm in the bathroom when you got there?
It was toasty warm.
There we go.
Oh, boy. We need to come up with something else to talk about.
I know.
Hey. Exciting week, man. Another exciting week in Division II lacrosse, man.
There was a
lot of stuff that went on, man. Some good games out there this past weekend.
This is how I wrote it down. We had some great thrillers, two games going to overtime. And Danny, I also saw a couple of teams return to the form in their second week that I thought they were going to show in their first week. And then to top it off, we had several games, first games, for new programs this week.
Yeah, bunch of them, couple of them. Virginia State, Tiffin.
Yeah. Who else? Virginia State, Tiffin, and William Jewell. We're all on the docket. We'll go through those in a little bit, but let's start off with the thrillers. Here's the first one. Oh, and another one. So the other team that started, first game ever, Holy Family.
Right.
They played Bethany on Friday. Now, Bethany's a D3 team. They actually played Tiffin the week before, but this one is actually, that was a scrimmage for Tiffin. This was on the books for Holy Family. I got home from dinner on Friday night and I turn it on my phone. I go to the web streaming, I turn it on, and it's your typical one camera up in the rafters of the football stadium that no one decides to zoom in.
Right.
So you can't see it all. You can see a bunch of people on the field, but you can't really see the ball moving. And I'm watching on my phone. So that's the other thing. I'm watching on a small screen. But I looked at the score and Holy Family was down 11-3 and in the third. And I thought, all right, look it. First game, they're down by a lot. I can't really see it. I could go to my computer. I'm just going to sit and, you know, watch something else on TV. Huge mistake, Danny. Huge mistake. Holy Family erased an 8-goal deficit and outscored Bethany 7-0, if we were playing football, 7-0 in the fourth quarter. And they scored their last two goals in the last minute to tie it up.
Wow.
To bring it to overtime. Now, Bethany scores in overtime and they get the victory. But you got to give some props to Holy Family for some resilience in their first game ever to like be down by that much and say, let's stick with it, boys. Let's do it.
Yeah. And take your first game into overtime. That must have been an exciting game to be at.
Yeah. Yeah. So fun. So it's a few stats on Holy Family. Julian DeFinis, I don't know if I said that right, 4 goals, 1 assist. James Bianea, he had 3 goals and 1 assist, and he scored the first goal ever for the program. And they put him up 1-0. They were winning. They were leading, I should say, not winning. They were leading. Max Coveley had 2 goals, 2 assists. Trey Rohr on defense, 4 ground balls, 2 cost turnovers. So let's see if those boys can keep it up. Now, they had a second game, and they didn't fare as well. They lost that game by more, but so they're 0-2. But like we talked about these teams, they're all coming in. They're new programs. They've got small rosters. It's just building blocks, and it's learning. So
Yeah. Good for them. Holy Family gets off to a good, you know, that's a good start, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was, I was screaming. Even though it's a loss, you learn from that.
Yeah. You're going to take things from that. Yes. Absolutely.
Exactly. Now, here's another game that went to overtime. Florida Southern Montevallo.
Oh, man. That was some game. Hold on.
The Falcons. Falcons moving into the top 20 at number 20 this week.
Wow. What a game.
Unbelievable.
Kevin. That was a great game. You know what? I didn't even know what to think about it because Montevallo jumped out to a 9-4. Like they jumped out.
They were up 8-1 and it was 9-4 after one. And it's funny. I got a DM from a fan. We got a DM from our fan on Instagram saying it was 8-1. And when I turned it on, it was 9-4. And I was watching several games at the time. So I had that in the background, but I really couldn't watch it. Here's what's even more interesting, Danny. They still had a Montevallo had a 6-goal lead after three and still with 5 minutes left. It was 17-11. And you're thinking, okay, they've got this game. Florida Southern comes storming back.
Kevin, the beginning of the game was all Montevallo.
Yeah.
And their defense, they were just like causing turnovers and just making Florida Southern really look sloppy. And Florida Southern had just upset number 3 Wingate the week before. And they looked phenomenal, right? Like they looked really good. Now, this game, they looked like a completely different team, especially in that first half. I mean, Montevallo, they were surprising to me. I couldn't believe how well they were playing. They were
And here's another thing. We talked about this last week when they played UIndy and they were throwing bad passes. They weren't in sync. And this game, they were in sync.
Yeah, man. That extra week of practice and that film session, whatever Coach Lang was doing with those guys, it really paid off. You know what? And Jacob Chiz, the faceoff guy from Florida Southern, he's a really good faceoff kid.
Yeah.
He was getting beat up in the first half. He was not winning his faceoffs in the first half. And that was another reason. I mean, these guys were giving, Montevallo was giving these guys a hard time. Yeah. Jacob Chiz, though, now in the third quarter, Chiz started winning. He started winning.
Yeah.
And after the third, they began to win some faceoffs, but the Falcons defense was still stood strong, but Florida Southern's defense began to turn things up a little bit in the end of that third quarter. By beginning of the fourth quarter, you could see the momentum change, Kev. It was shifting in favor of the Mocs. It was 17-10 Falcons with 7 minutes left, okay? Walton scored for Florida Southern, made it 17-11. Chiz wins the faceoffs and bang, a Brendan Glasser goal, okay? Florida Southern brings him 17-12 with 6 minutes left. Chiz wins a faceoff again and boom, an Onstead goal, 17-13 with 4 minutes left. Chiz wins the next faceoff and bang, a Caleb Cook goal for Florida Southern, 17-14 now.
Let me ask you, are you holding your breath yet at this point? Or are you still thinking, okay, that's got to stop soon? I was kind of at the floodgates have got to stop soon.
You could see now Alex Agorshin was in goal for the Falcons.
Yeah.
And he played on his head. He played really good. But these last couple of minutes, you could see he was starting to get a little like, uh-oh.
Flustered.
He was a little on his heels a little bit, a little on his heels. So Walton, Chiz wins the faceoff. Caleb Cook scores, right? 17-14, 13. Montevallo scored and made it 18-14 Falcons with 2:26 to go. Okay? Chiz wins the faceoff and bang, a Jonas Aquia goal, 18-15 with 2 minutes left. A great scrum at the faceoff, and Florida Southern comes up with the 50-50. Now it's getting exciting, right? Montevallo gets a push call, and Florida Southern goes man up. Nolan Tye scores off a beautiful assist by Caleb Cook. 18-16 brings it within two. Chiz wins the next faceoff clean and bang. Glasser again, 18-17 with 1 minute left in the game.
Yeah, and they scored those three goals in less than a minute, less than 60 seconds.
With 28 seconds left, Kev. Yeah. This is great, people.
Yeah.
With 28 seconds left, Zach Fitzgerald for the Mock snagged a slash penalty. And Falcons go man up.
And you think, okay, there it is.
I was like, they're in the EMO situation. Yeah. They got a chance to put it away right now. What'd they do? They turned the ball over. Nick Shannon with a great check playing sick D for Florida Southern. Clears the ball with 17 seconds, gets the ball to Caleb Cook for the Mocs, and Cook buries one. Now, remember, Fitzgerald's in the box for a minute. That was a man down goal.
Yeah.
Man that was down. A man.
Yeah.
That was, you forget that was about a man that. Down yeah. goal. Now, play's over. It's tied up. Regulation's over. Florida Southern is still in the box. So Montevallo's got the man up advantage at the beginning of the final period. And then Jackson Klucher buried the game winner for Montevallo. And what
and
a
what's
game.
Interesting about that too, though, is he actually scored that. It wasn't they weren't man up at that point. They had gone even.
Not they had long. Just gotten back.
They had just gotten back in. They were 6-on-6, but he scored that goal. And he had a great dodge into the middle. He got on crease. He dodged in the middle, was on crease for the win. He had like maybe a 3-yard shot.
Oh, yeah. It was a great game, man. It really was. It was exciting as game as you can get. Matt Boas had 7 goals. Jason Klucek was really good with 4 goals. Tremaine Hunter had 2 goals. And for Florida Southern, Caleb Cook was on fire. He had 4 goals. Flamin's back again with 3 goals. 2 assists.
Armstead, Nick Shannon, Walton. 6 ground balls, 3 caused turnovers.
He's a beast. He's a beast. So, again, Ngorshan and goal for Montevallo. He made some really big saves in that game, too, man. That was as good as a game as you can get, Kev. And Montevallo sneaks into the top 20 with that big win. The Montevallo fans were out in force on social media on Saturday afternoon and Sunday.
So here's funny, Danny. I sent a note to Coach Lang. I think it was Sunday morning. I said I congratulated him on the win, and I said one of his parents said that she died 1,000 deaths during that game.
Yeah, and hey, I've been there. So, I know what it's like to be in a cardiac game.
So Coach Lang, he emails us back, and here's his quote. From a fan's perspective, I'm sure it was a great game to watch. It definitely took a lot out of me, but I'm thankful we were able to pull it out at the end. It definitely took a lot out of me. He said our kids were great. So as usual, I mean, it's a great quote. And I can just imagine him on the sidelines. Just, you know, I can't even imagine coaching through that and trying to. Used trying to stay calm to try to keep the team calm and then try to weather the storm. And they, you know, Florida Southern kept on coming back. It was just a great game.
Yeah. Those last 6 minutes, if you're Montevallo, you're like, oh, what's going on? Because you looked so good in the first half.
Yeah.
But you know what? Again, came down to the faceoffs a little bit in between halves because Chiz was winning in the second half, which he wasn't doing as good in the first half. But in the second half, he turned it up. And you know what? Congratulations to the Falcons, man. Sure. Those guys worked hard. They played hard in that game. They never gave up. They, you know, they were going after ground balls. The game started to get pretty physical. Kev, as good a game, a lacrosse game as you can get. That was a barn burner, as we say.
Ton of fun. Here's another game that was a lot of fun to watch, and one I only caught near the end and was just neck and neck the whole time, and that was Molloy Seton Hill.
Great
Seton
game.
Hill pulls it out 11-10. But Danny, it was total back and forth. It was 2-2 after one, 4-4 after two, and 7-7 after three.
Kevin, another really, really good game. It came down to this. You know what? A couple of bad turnovers by Molloy. They had a lot of turnovers in that game. A lot of, you know, just sloppy passes. First game, you know,
right.
First game stuff, you know, and you see a lot of that in the beginning of the season. Yeah. I've watched, I don't know, at least a dozen games in the last 2 weeks And I've seen a lot of sloppy play. You know,
and it's very rare. There's only been a couple teams, not a couple games, a couple teams that haven't had sloppy play.
Yeah, that was a good game. You know, Seton Hill traveled out to Long Island, out to Molloy, played out there in Rockville Center. It was a pretty nice day out Saturday, actually, up here in Long Island. It was like in the mid-50s, close to 60. So it was overcast, but it wasn't too bad out. I mean, perfect day to go to see a game.
Yeah.
I should have gone, actually. But I thought both teams' defenses played well.
Yeah.
I felt that both teams had really good defense, and I felt that both teams' offense struggled at times, made bad passes, made bad decisions with the ball, maybe forced it in when they should have maybe worked it a little bit more. Again, first game season, you know, that type of thing. A lot of that went on. But Molloy, I got to hand it to Coach Dunn, man. He's got a lot of freshmen and sophomores out there. They're a pretty young team.
Yeah. Just to finish how the game, since it was tied after three, Seton Hill's Peyton Gensler, who, you know, we talk about, he's a senior. He's a great attackman for them. He scored with 10 seconds left to get the win. And he scored twice in the final minute. He had the tying goal at 46 seconds left, and then the winning goal with 10 seconds left. So
Kevin Gensler is a beast.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is 5'11, 245 pound attackman.
Yeah.
He is a brick shithouse. You know where he's from? He's from Springford, Pennsylvania. So he's a graduate student attack. He had, what, three goals? How many goals?
Yeah, three goals. He had three goals. Hayden Granberg had three goals for him as well. But, yeah, he had three goals. And he's the guy you're going to give the rock to in those pressure situations. And he delivered.
Yeah, he's a big boy. Oh, my God. Yeah. He's like a big, thick kid. He's tough. He can back kids down. Nate Herbster had two goals and three assists.
Yeah.
It's a sophomore attack from Carlisle, Pennsylvania, Kev.
There you go.
And Mark Strunk was 15 to 24 at the X. Will Cody had six saves for Seton Hill. Not bad.
Well, and so let's talk about that for a quick second. We talked about this in the conference preview, right? This is like the first time that Seton Hill hasn't had a seasoned goalie in cage for several years. And Will had six saves, but he had 10 goals against. So he's going to probably, I'm sure, is going to want to improve upon that. That's going to be something to watch.
Yeah. He only faced 16 shots on goal, stopped six of them. So that's not so bad. It's not so great.
Right.
But
right.
Again, first game. And you know what? Molloy's got some players out there. Conrad Machaney had three goals. He was playing phenomenal. Chris Delaney had three goals. And again, Green, Palulis, and Hyman, and Noah Taylor, the former Wingate kid.
Yeah.
They all scored a goal apiece. I thought, and Christian Michaels in goal for Molloy. He's very 16 good.
16 saves.
He's very 11 good.
11 goals against. Yeah. He had He's a good game. He's very good. He's very good.
I DM Coach Dunn, and he DM me back, and he said, "We got to learn to crawl before we can walk." And I was like, there's a legend saying, hey, I know my team's young, but we're doing things right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So I like Coach Dunn. I think Molloy should be getting votes, man, because the way they played against a really, real ranked squad.
They did. You know? I think I saw that they received some votes. I basically wrote as a note, I think we've talked about this. I think Molloy has arrived. You look at the two teams we just talked about, Montevallo and Molloy, okay? And there's several other right in that same category that they are going to play everyone tough. When in years past, they've started to climb, like Molloy a couple of years ago when Coach Dunn got there, they had a losing season. And now last year, they're at the point like they won a lot of games against the big boys. Maybe they didn't win. And now they're matching the big boys. And that's where Montevallo is. They couldn't match the big boys in years past. And they went toe-to-toe with a top 20 team and beat them. And that's what those two teams are.
You know, I have all the respect in the world for Coach Dunn. I think he's an amazing coach. Yeah. And I said to you when he got the job, I said, Kevin, it's not going to be long before Molloy is going to be making noise again. Yeah. And you know what? I think that's a team that should be receiving votes if they're not already. I'm not in the committee.
They did. They did that. And when I saw in USA Lacrosse, they said in other votes, you know, and Malloy was on that list. So, which is
they
good
deserve
to see.
It.
That's what they should
they,
be.
They,
yeah.
they deserve 100%. It. You know what? And that was a quality lacrosse game.
Cheers to you, my friend. All right. Yes. Now let's move on there. Let's talk about the teams, at least in my mind, that I think have returned to form what I thought I would see the first week. And the first one was Wingate playing against Mercyhurst.
Yeah. Well, these two teams have a history. They've played 10 times in their history, and Wingate's only won twice out of 10 times. So it's, you know, Mercyhurst, they've played at neutral ground. And the last couple of years, they played down in Wingate. Coach Trey Keeley in his first game brought the Lakers down to Wingate down there in North Carolina. And, they met up with a really, really good defense, Kev.
Yeah, so Wingate pulls it off 13-6. Let's start with their goalie. Thomas Sullivan had another amazing game. But
it's a brick wall.
The defense had an amazing game. From D middies to LSM to the D poles, the close defense, all played really well. That some of the saves that Sully had were because the defense set him up for him. And then you add in one more piece for defense, and that was the ride by the attack in the middies. Their ride was tenacious during that game.
Yeah, Wingate's defense is badass, man. Like I said, even in the loss that they had to Florida Southern last week.
Oh, their defense played great.
I didn't blame the defense. Yeah. I blame the offense on that one. But their defense was amazing. Ethan Landemore's a three-time All-American. Scoreless, Kev.
And only six shots. He only took six shots.
Zero goals, zero assists on six shots. That speaks volumes. I can tell you, short stick John Natoli, who was like injured a lot last year, I'm telling you, he was amazing. He was best game I've ever seen him play. I mean, he was all over the field, short stick, D-middy. He was clearing the ball. He was getting ground balls. He was really, really good.
He and Matt Papak, who played also short stick deep, both played transition middies both ways. And the great thing about Natoli, Papak had two goals.
His best game is a Bulldog. Yeah. He's part of the 100%. Fab Five.
Yeah.
He's part of the Fab Five.
But the thing I love about Natoli in that game was when he transitioned to offense, I don't think he made a mistake when he got on the other side.
No, he played a damn near perfect game.
Heads up game.
Yeah.
Heads up game.
Yeah, they were just amazing. And
that was really the difference. I did not see the Lakers really being able to. They had trouble figuring out what they were doing offensively. Kind of what you saw with Wingate the week before. They were in the same shoes. Like, they just couldn't get in sync on their own.
Wingate was faster than them. They were trying to run like a 1-4-1, like invert from X. And Wingate was just faster and better. They were beating their man to the points and turning guys and getting sticks in lanes. And you know what? Even though, you know, Mercyhurst is a great team. It's a good, I'm not going to take anything away from Mercyhurst. Those kids are good, but they just ran into a brick wall in Sullivan, an amazing stout defense. And you know what that offense can do
offense clicked in that game. What I expected to see him in the first game, what they did in the first quarter of their first game, and they were clicking on all sides. I mean, you look at some of the stats, you know, Sean Clark, redshirt freshman, 5 goals, 2 assists.
Played great.
Willie Greco, 6 assists, 2 ground balls, 1 cause turnover. Matt Papak, 2 goals, 4 ground balls, 1 cause turnover. It goes to he was playing short 16 mini, but that also talks about the ride. Then Nick Arnold, 2 ground balls, 3 cause turnovers. Sully, 17 saves, 6 goals against, 74% save percentage.
Did you see Mercyhurst go into the 10-man ride a couple of times?
Yeah, yeah.
And they left the goal open, and Wingate was shooting them from far and just missing, man. Just missing.
Yeah.
There was one play where Olney was out of the goal by a good 12, 13 yards, riding, you know, doing this 10-man ride. The goal was open. I forget who shot the ball for Wingate. It was a long shot, like a 52-yard shot. And Olney went flying across the field, dove out, stuck his stick out, and was able to get his stick on the ball to stop the ball. That was an amazing, amazing athletic play.
He's a great goalie. He's a great. And then guys like Braden McCard, their short 60 mid, who also had a goal for them. I mean, they have some great players on that team, and I expect Mercyhurst to continue to rise. It's the first game of the season for them. Wingate's already had one. So, you know, you look at the difference. Wingate, even this time, they had 48 shots this time versus what they had last time, which is like 34, and they were 50% at the faceoff percentage. So they had some great improvements in some of those stats to get where they were and be able to keep Mercyhurst under control the whole game.
Yeah, for Mercyhurst, Lukey and Johnny had a goal. Colin Schmatz had a goal. Ryan Mahoney had a goal. Again, Landy Moore, scoreless. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. They locked him down. They went with a pair of guys at faceoff. Andrew Vetter went 3-for-10 at the X, and Matt Welch went 8-for-12 at the X. Wingate's deep, man. They ran out 27 players in this game. 27 players they ran out. They had Dylan Ruppert was 7-for-13 at the X. They put out McGarvey for a couple. He was 1-for-5 at the X. And the freshman, Logan Spaeth, did really good at the X. He was 3-for-4. So, again, Sean Clark with a great game, 5-and-2. Danny Riley with 3. Greco with the 6 assists. Zach Sampson added 2. Wingate was the Wingate that we know.
Yeah, yeah.
And they beat a good Mercyhurst. And, you know, they were ranked number 6. So it was a good win for Wingate. And, you know, Mercyhurst, they got their hands full.
Yeah, and like I said in my top 20, I had Mercyhurst farther back out of the top 10, mainly because I thought they had lost enough that they had to make up for it. And I think it's, you know, it's Coach Keeley. It's not that Coach Keeley isn't a great coach. He is, but there's new terminology, kind of a new offense probably being put in, and it's going to take a little time for him. I think they'll figure it out. I think by the end of the season, they're going to be up there, but they ran into a buzzsaw this time.
They got a bunch of players there at Mercyhurst. Yeah. They got boys that can play. They'll put it together. You know, again, just like you just said, new coach, new terminology, a new look, a new feel. Once these kids get really super comfortable and get a couple of games under their belt, I think they'll be the Mercyhurst that we know.
I agree. The other game, Danny, that was played on Saturday, another team that I thought didn't look what I thought they looked like in the first game, turned it around, and that was North Greenville playing Anderson at Anderson. North Greenville wins.
Good game, actually.
11-9. A great game. Did you watch that?
I did. I watched the second half of it. It was a good game.
Yeah, so another one, just like the Molloy Seton Hill, back and forth game for three quarters. It was 3-2 after one. North Greenville was up 4-4 at half. And then it was 6-5 after three, and Anderson was up. They were tied at 6 in the fourth, and then Anderson reels off 3 goals. And you kind of feel like they have the momentum, right?
Yeah, it was going their way, right?
Yeah. No. North Greenville answers with 5 in a row to go up 11-9. And that was the end of the game. There was a great, we talked about Holy Family and resilience. And when you're playing a team like Anderson and Anderson gets up by 3 and you're in the fourth quarter, that takes some real steely-eyed resilience to steady yourself and come back. And they showed it. They played really well down the stretch.
Well, you know, North Greenville, they lost last week, correct? Am I correct?
To Catawba, yes.
Yeah, so, you know, that's a good win for North Greenville. You know what? You and I both know that North Greenville's got a pretty good team up there in Greenville, South Carolina there. You know, I was a little bit surprised at Anderson. I thought, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? I think there was, like, something missing, man. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, look, it was a close game all the way through. And I think the longer it was close, the more North Greenville got confidence. Anderson had to bury them early because North Greenville's a good team. And I think we talked about that. We talked about this and Anderson, they were undefeated going into that, but they hadn't really played. They played Young Harris before that. So they hadn't played anyone of North Greenville's caliber. And, you know, they ran into a team that was just matching them and Hayden Moffitt. We talked about this. I had him on my list, right?
He's good, man.
What is he going to do out of the shadows? 6 goals and an assist. Amazing.
He might be better than Miles. I just started a fight game in the Moffitt family.
Yeah, you did. You did.
Hey, Hayden's a good player, man. Yeah. And he plays with passion. and he plays with heart, and he's fast and aggressive out there.
Yeah.
And he ain't afraid to pull the trigger.
No.
I mean, this might be a big year for Mr. Moffitt.
Yep. And then on defense, Dalton Wilkins from him had four ground balls, two cost turnovers. But here's what I want to point out. Austin Jones, their goalie, he had 15 saves in this game and only 9 goals against. And you think about what he only had 8 saves against Catawba. So another, it's a great comeback for him because he's a damn good goalie.
Confidence builder too.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so it was a great game. Anderson, Tristan Kirkham had 2 goals, 1 assist. PJ Fenchek had 2 goals. Peyton Jefferson, Danny, for Anderson, was all over the field and everywhere.
He's 4 good.
Ground balls, 4 cost turnovers.
He's very good, man.
Yeah.
He's really good. It's one of the best in the country, I think.
I agree. 100%. Okay.
So now what do you think of Anderson? Like, you know, they're in the tough conference in that, and they've been making noise in that SAC for a couple of years. Do you think this is a team that can make noise this year? I don't know, man.
Yeah, I think so. I do.
Okay.
I do. I mean, I think they've got the players on both sides, offense and defense. They've got a great goalie. Actually, 2 great goalies. I think it was just North Greenville. North
had their number that night.
Yeah, had their number. They came back, and I think they can make. I think they can still make noise.
Again, I didn't see the first half. I only saw the second half. From what I could see, it looked like North Greenville defensively was confusing, you know, Anderson a little bit and just making them do things that they don't normally do. And taking bad shots and just, you know, and goalie saves. I don't know. Just
North Greenville looked good. I watched the whole game, and it was just, like I said, it felt like it was just totally even.
Yeah, it's probably right.
So, all right, let's talk about first games for teams. To start off, it was Tuesday, it was a week ago, and it was Virginia State's first game against Lincoln Memorial, and it went like we thought it would, and LMU Virginia State dominated them. Yeah.
LMU is good, man.
Yeah, that's what I said. We thought it was not going to be easy, and LMU won 22-5. It was 8-1 after one. And Virginia State, let's give them some credit. Like, they were pretty consistent. They scored at least 1 goal per quarter. They had 2 in the third. They've got some athletes on their team, and they've got speed. They just have to get used to the NCAA game.
Yep.
A little bit better. Once again, better on passing, better on clearing. It's a typical thing when you see new teams, right? It will go down some of these stats with these teams. But I'll tell you what, they fared fairly well in faceoffs. They were 13 of 30, which isn't horrendous, just under 50%. And they actually did well in ground balls. They had 30 ground balls to Lincoln Memorial's 28. So
they're short on numbers, and a lot of freshmen on that team. So there's a lot of learning to do. Again, like you said, learning the NCAA game. I think, you know, Coach Church is going to have those guys, you know, improving each week because he's a good coach, man.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got the right attitude for him. I'll tell you what, we got this. I got a DM from someone telling us this happened. This is some great sportsmanship. Kalani Laughlin scored the first goal ever for Virginia State in the game.
Yeah, Kalani!
LMU gave Virginia State the game ball from their first goal after the game. They saved the ball for them and gave it to them. Isn't that cool?
Yep. Well, that's what lacrosse does. That's the game of lacrosse.
Yeah.
And you know what? It doesn't surprise me that Coach Wilson would do that. It's a great thing to do. That's, again, that's lacrosse. It's a gentleman's game, man.
Yeah. Yep. You play tough in between the lines. And when it's over, you know, you're one community again. It's just phenomenal to see. Okay. Next game that happened on Saturday, and that was Tiffin against Davenport. And like we talked about, Danny, last week about this game, Davenport has been kind of on an upward climb. They've been playing better and better.
Yes,
and they showed
have.
It in this game against Tiffin the first time. Once again, Tiffin having a small roster, first game. They beat Tiffin 22-6.
Wow.
It was 7-2 after one, and then the Panthers went on a 9-0 run to make it 16-2.
Well, I hope the Panthers put their threes in. You know, I hope they got a couple of those freshman guys in there, got some run against the, you know, Tiffin.
Yeah.
Because 22 goals is a lot.
Yeah. But the stats you know, here's the stats were pretty close, except on the things you'd imagine. Then we talked about these four shots. So Davenport had 48 to Tiffin's 24, ground balls 48 to 27, and faceoffs 23 to 9. And that's typically what we've seen on new teams. That's where they struggle when they're first in there, especially probably not, maybe not faceoff all the time, but shots, ground balls, clearing. They've got a way to go, but you know, it was their first game, and now they're taking lessons. Davenport, Jaden Ashley had 4 goals, 2 assists.
Yeah.
Trevor McDonald had 3 goals. Braylon Baker. 3 goals, 6 assists.
He had a good game, 9-point game. That's badass right there.
And then Caden Seely on defense had 3 ground balls and 2 caused turnovers.
Sean Ryan, 10 for 18 at the X.
Yeah.
How about Chase Post, 6 ground balls and 3 caused turnovers to Davenport. He had himself a game.
Yeah.
And Coach Travis Brown, man, got to give him credit. Them guys scored 6 goals in their first game.
Yeah.
You know what? How about Isaac Wirt scored the first goal in Tiffin
history.
Tiffin program history. So that's good for him. Brandon McDonald had 3 goals. He's a graduate student. You know where he's from, Kev?
Where is he from?
Clifton Springs, New York. I have no clue as to where Clifton Springs is. But Brandon McDonald had 3 goals and assists. Isaac Wirtz, Geller, and Aiden Gilbert each added a goal apiece for them. And again, small roster, mostly freshmen for Tiffin, but they're on the boards. They're in the books.
Yeah.
There's guys scoring goals. There's guys making ground balls. So congratulations, Tiffin. You got your first game under your belt. Too bad you faced a really, really good Davenport Panther team.
Yeah. Now here's the last one. And this is Quincy against William Jewell. This was Saturday as well. Quincy wins 15-7. But here's the interesting thing with this one. It was 5-3 at half, Danny. William Jewell then scores the first goal in the second half to get it within 1. And then Quincy scores the next 5 and the Hawks just break it open. They basically double them up in the third, 6-3. And that is the real difference. And the final was 15-7, but they were hanging for a while. You know, once again, team stats were the difference. Shots, Quincy had 54 to William Jewell, 33, and then ground balls 42 to 24. But, you know, William Jewell, Olivia LaPlante, 2 goals, 1 assist. Tanner Garth, 2 goals. Finn Zyberth, I think that's how you say it, their goalie, had a good game. 16 saves, 15 goals against, but he kept them in the game for a while. He had a really good game. And then on the Quincy side, Jane Brain, 4 goals, 1 assist. Christian Zarni, 3 goals. Orton Ernst, 2 goals, 2 assists. And then their goalie, Ryan Riggs, had 18 saves and 7 goals against. So, it was a good game. You know, Quincy's another team like Davenport that really came to the rise last year. And so it's tough for these new teams to play against teams that are really more seasoned.
Yeah, so let me see if I got this right. Dominican, they have a couple of games under their belt, right? From California.
Yeah.
Oh, Concordia.
No, Dominican.
Dominican. Why do I confuse these guys? I can't get it straight. I don't know why. So Holy Family had their first game. Virginia State had their first game. Tiffin had their first game.
And William Jewell. Thomas Moore has their first game this coming week. We'll get to that in a little bit.
Okay.
They're playing William Jewell later on.
So that's all right. All you new guys, congratulations. Getting your first games under your belt from the boys from D2. The only podcast about D2 in the Crease Knucklehead. So congratulations, guys.
Here's kind of a game that was a little bit of a surprise and a game that you and I both were looking forward to, and that was Maryville against Lewis.
Yeah, kind of surprised at that for sure.
Maryville wins this 13-5, and it was 8-1 at half, and I never would have expected that, Danny.
I totally didn't expect that. Totally didn't expect that.
Maryville was just playing really well in transition. That produced a couple of goals for them. Then they got the ball moving on offense. And they also had some great breaks. They got a goal on a rebound that you would say, okay, it's kind of a garbage goal. But look at the attackman was right there on the crease. That's what you're supposed to do.
Right place, right time.
Yeah.
And so, bury the biscuit.
You know, it just seemed. And then on the defensive side, it just seemed like Maryville D never really let the Flyers set up their offense.
Yeah, that's what I got from the game. I mean, I just saw Lewis not being able to get into an offensive flow at all. I mean, I just felt that Maryville's defense was just, they were active and fast and aggressive and checking and just, you know, just wreaking havoc for Lewis.
Yeah,
and I just felt like
sticks Lewis were on, just, sticks were on the hands.
A really good game defensively for Maryville. And right. You know what? I was expecting a lot more from Lewis, to be honest with you. I got to say that I was shocked at that game.
Yeah. And, you know, really what it looks like when it's 9, you know, it's 8-1 at half, they just dug too big of a hole to get out of.
Yeah. It was too much of a hole. You're right. Yeah, they couldn't dig it out. They couldn't dig it out. So Maryville's a solid team, you know,
really good team. They both are stacked teams. That's why I thought it would be closer. I thought it'd be really close. And if you look at what I had for my top 20, I told you last week, I gave Lewis a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a favor in that game. And Maryville just came out and balled out at home. It was at home for them. So great.
Yeah.
Zach Baker from Maryville had 5 goals. Reed Erstray had 1 goal, 3 assists. Bennett Gerton, a freshman, had 4 ground balls, 2 cost turnovers. And Dylan Ratke had 15 saves and 5 goals against. On the Lewis side, Nate McLean had 2 goals. Maliki Good had 1 goal, 1 assist. I did not see Boyenko in the game at all.
Mm.
I don't know if he's injured or not. But their goalie, Rhea Rath, he had a good game. I mean, he had 18 saves, 13 goals against. He had a lot of shots on him, and he had a good game. It wasn't all on him. So it was just surprising for Maryville.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the only thing I want to say, I'm not going to go through the games, but we both had Lenore Ryan number 1 in our top 20, and they're showing why they're there. Their offense and defense, and I think it's their defense, shutting down some good teams like Belmont Abbey and UIndy. I mean, UIndy went up by 2 goals to begin with, and all of a sudden you think, oh, let's see. But their defense really shut it down and allowed their offense to click.
I couldn't agree with you more. Their defense is really, really, really good, man. They got studs on that side of the ball. Pensimini in goal, Victor Powell.
Yeah. You
know. Colton McCracken, they got some players there on defense. You know what? They definitely have some players on offense. They look good. These new guys, these transfers are starting to fit in a little bit. They didn't look so great in the first game. They look much better against UIndy. UIndy couldn't do anything against them. They really couldn't.
You're right. In the second half, it was 5-2 after, well, really after the first. It was 5-2 after the first, and it was 9-2 at half. And I think, once again, I wrote this note. I think LR's offense, very good. And they were very good in spurts in that game against UIndy. But the D was steady and really tough throughout. So they held back the UIndy offense until all of a sudden LR would click. Lenore Ryan's offense would click and just score.
Their defense is creating offense.
Yeah. Yeah, you just know, like they did in the final last year.
Yeah, they knock balls down. They're physical. They slide. They double. They get the ball out of the guy's hands, and they go flying down the field, man, in transition. They're a good team. Yeah. Lenore Ryan's going to be a tough team to beat, folks.
All right, Danny, let's get to the games to watch this next week. And what's great about this is the North region starts playing, and I've got one on Friday that starts that one off, and that's Caldwell against St. Michael's. It's the first game for Caldwell new head coach Blaise Mantinho. And what does St. Mike's do this year? Like we said in the preview, their D will be solid, but they lose a couple of attack men, and their offense, remember, their offense was at like 71% assist to goal ratio. So I'm really interested to see if they can keep up that type of offense going. So great to see the North region starting, and I think Caldwell St. Michael's is something to watch.
Yeah, who else in the North is starting this week?
Well, Roberts, Wesleyan, Seton Hill. I mean, Seton Hill started last week. I have Roberts, Wesleyan in there. They already played one. They played and beat Dominican of New Jersey, and Seton Hill won the barn burner right against Malloy. Right. So that could be a good game. What's even more interesting about this one, Danny, is that's on Saturday. Those two play together on Saturday the 17th. Roberts Wesleyan starts a grueling schedule. after that game, they basically play every 2 days for the next 6 days. So they play Seton Hill on the 17th, Walsh 2 days later on the 19th, Barton 2 days after that on the 21st, and they end it with Mount Olive on the 23rd.
A rough 6 day stretch.
Crazy. Crazy.
That's I like what Memphis Wesley, and they're a good team though, man.
Yeah. Yeah. What I'd other like games are you looking at?
Well, I was looking at, I think the obvious one that stands out to me is the LR in Tampa. It's a couple of big boys, top five matchup.
Yeah.
I think that should be an interesting game. Maybe Lenore Ryan gets pushed a little bit this game and tested a little bit, maybe.
Yeah. Now they're both undefeated. I would say that Lenore Ryan has faced a little tougher opponents than what Tampa has done. They're playing in a neutral site just like they did last year.
Yes.
And Tampa pulled it out last year. So I think this could, you're right. I think this is going to be the biggest test for Lenore Ryan.
So far, anyway. And I like I think a good matchup, a good game to watch should be the UND Mercyhurst game.
Yeah.
Both teams coming off losses, you know?
Yeah.
So, and they're not used to losing, these two teams. They're not used to losing. They're winning their NCAA caliber squads, you know? They're not used to taking those L's early in the season. So
both teams have a new look kind of offense. Like they don't have the players that they used to have, and they're getting used to what they're doing on their offensive schemes. Yeah.
And new guys stepping in certain spots, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think that should be a good game. I want to watch Malloy and Southern New Hampshire. I just like Malloy this year, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think
they're not going to be an easy team.
And any 10 team, they're used to, banging around with the big boys in the any 10. So that should be a good matchup to play to see.
Okay. I've got another one on Friday, and that's Malone against William Jewell. This is a GLVC GMAC matchup. So it's a north south region, which is pretty cool. Malone was a new team last year. They started 4-1 last year, if you remember, as a brand new program. They're 2-0 right now.
Would they have 6 wins total last year?
They went 7-8. They were just under 500.
And that was a new program, and they won 7 games, and they've already won 2 this year.
They're
doing something good there, Malone.
They're doing very well, and I think this could be interesting. Cardinals did not play too bad against Quincy, so it could be really good matchup to watch. But here's the game.
I like Malone.
I think you're right. Here's the game, though, Danny, that everyone should tune into. If you're in the local area, if you're within an hour, you should go to this game. And that's Virginia State against UDC, played at Virginia State.
Historical game, Kev. This game is historical.
Yeah. Forget about the records. Put the records out. This already is a rivalry.
Well,
and it's a great rivalry.
Kevin, this, again, it's historical. We have two HBCUs playing an NCAA college lacrosse game. They played football. HBCUs have played in other sports, but there's never been two HBCU schools face each other in the game of lacrosse. This is a first. It's an American first. It's a USA lacrosse first. It's an NCAA first. This is truly a remarkable day coming up.
You're exactly right. I can't say any more about it except what you just said. So we'll move on. Here's a game, and this is where you have a little trouble, Danny. You had a little tongue twister when we were talking about games in review.
I screw it up every time. I don't know why.
Now you may next week get it wrong who won and who lost, but this is Dominican of California against Concordia Irvine.
There we go. Two California teams.
First game for Concordia of the year. It's the first home game for the Pangs. And even funnier or even more interesting is it's the first game between two new programs, but they were clubs, both club last year and now NCAA D2. So it's got a lot of intrigue, this game.
I like Coach Sammy. I like Dominican in this game. I like Dominican. He's a Ranger fan, Coach Sammy, right? He had all the Ranger stuff in his back.
He did.
Yeah, so I don't know. Dominican's got players that they are a good club team. This team is making a little bit of noise in its early going here, huh?
Yeah.
So that should be great.
What we expected. I'm sure Concordia, I think this will be a close game. I think it'll be really fun to watch. I have two other games I'm looking at. One is a top 20 matchup, and that's Limestone against Florida Southern. Now, Limestone is undefeated, and Florida Southern just came off a tough loss. You got to give the nod to Limestone in this game, but look what Florida Southern did against Wingate. Do they turn it around?
Well, if they can stop Zach Terry, they may have a shot.
Yeah.
So that means wherever he goes, wherever Mr. Terry goes, they better put somebody like Shannon or somebody right in his jock strap. If he goes to the bathroom, you're going to the bathroom too. If he goes to X, you go to X. If he goes to wing, you go to wing. They're going to try to pick you. They're going to try to get him free. You gotta guard Zach Terry. If you can hold him to like four goals or less, you might have a shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point.
Good luck.
Last game I've got on my list. It's Limestone the first game. Good, yeah, they do. They do. The first game for Thomas More. So it'll be the second one. William Jewell. This is on Sunday. So William Jewell is playing on Friday, and then they turn around playing on Sunday against Thomas More. First game for Thomas More. Just like the Dominican and Concordia game, these are both new programs, but these are truly new programs.
Yeah. So
this is another one. You gotta put it on the thing of the games to watch this week, just because of that uniqueness.
Yeah, I agree. That's all I got, Kev.
I do too. It's another great week of games. You know, I'm going down to watch the Virginia State game, so how much time I'm going to have as I have to travel down about 2 hours and travel back 2 hours to see a lot of games on Saturday. Maybe I'll try to catch some on Sunday, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it should be great.
The following segment of In the Crease is sponsored by LaxJobs.us. Find lacrosse jobs, find lacrosse people. LaxJobs.us is the number one source to browse and post lacrosse job opportunities on the web. If you're looking to work in lacrosse, at LaxJobs.us, you can browse lacrosse job opportunities, upload a resume, create a seeker profile, and be seen by hundreds of potential employers. You can sign up for email job alerts as well. Are you looking to hire lacrosse people? At LaxJobs.us, you can post a job to be released to a network of qualified job seekers. And the best part is that LaxJobs.us is completely free to use. Our goal is simple. Fill lacrosse roles with lacrosse people. Visit us today at LaxJobs.us and follow us at LaxJobs_ and join our community of professionals. LaxJobs.us. Find lacrosse jobs. Find lacrosse people. LaxJobs.us.
Bad news, Danny. No player spotlight again this week.
Oh.
Good news, though. We have doubled down on the team spotlight. You know, I'm not really sure how this is going to go. We got two teams that are getting ready to compete against each other, but we had to do it. As you know, we already talked about this in our games to watch. And because the Virginia State UDC game is so historic, we thought it'd be great to get both teams on to get their perspective of the game.
Kevin, since this game was slated, I said this is a historical game that no two HBCU have played each other in the game of lacrosse. They played in football. You got Jackson State and Grambling. Yeah, and you got all those schools. But in Division I, we only have one school, and that's Hampton. Okay? In Division II, we have two. And this is the first time in NCAA, in United States history, in the game of lacrosse, where two HBCU schools are going at it. And it's exciting. Yeah. It's about the game and how we grow this game. And we always talk about growing the game of lacrosse and what the game of lacrosse does. It's the healer's game. It's a spiritual game. But this has a little bit more involved in it. It's just, it's got historical, you know, it's got historical things just all over it.
Yeah. When we first talked about it with both coaches, I circled it on my calendar and I've kept that date open. I'm driving the 2 hours down. down to Virginia State to watch this game. But so but enough of us talk. Look, we didn't, you know, people hear us all the time. So why don't we just welcome in Coach Sean Church of Virginia State, as well as Kalani Laughlin and Jace Wiggins from that team, and from UDC, Coach Matt Merritt, Najee Wilson, and Julian Shem. Welcome, guys. How you doing?
Welcome, fellas.
I'm doing good. Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. All right, boys. Excited? Are you excited for this game? Coach Church, welcome back to the program. It's good to see you again. You're looking good, man. No gray hairs. The team hasn't bogged you down too much yet. How's it going so far?
It's going well. We've been learning a lot, but I can say a lot of growth has been happening. In our Mars Hill trip, we actually had a nice delay. Woke up, the bus wasn't working. So we had some adversity on that trip. Game got pushed back a little bit. I had to wait for the next bus from Virginia State to come to pick us up. Got back probably 3-4 in the morning. Cold tub, trash can, baths, courtesy Coach Church. You go boy knowing some stuff again. And, you know, so I saw a lot of bonding happening, you know. And then today we had another game. So, I mean, me as the coach, I kind of know where we are. You know where you getting yourself in when you kind of take this position. This is a full-out startup. So ASA, I credit ASA and Monroe kind of giving me some knowledge on how to do all this. But one part of it is probably a lot of losing and a lot more small wins and perspective, as I like to give my guys, because we're all freshmen and our day is going to come sooner than later. So you just got to keep learning, keep our heads down, keep grinding, respect all, fear none. You know, but yep. Right now we are playing the medicine game. We are getting the ability to play at the highest level in college. But more importantly, for all these gentlemen on here, even the gentlemen from UDC, we're getting to represent the HBCU sector, more importantly, Division II.
Well said, Coach.
Yeah, that's great. I have another question for you. Hopefully, Coach Merritt will come back on. He's trying to escape from us. He's leaving it all up to his players to do the discussion right now. So, Najee, what made you decide to go to UDC?
I just wanted to be a part of something different. We're both JUCO guys. I went to Onondaga for 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
2 years. I was transferring, graduating in the middle of COVID, so that 2020 year. So I was looking at a few schools, trying to decide what I want to do next. And the coach at the time, Coach Colbert, I wanted to play for a coach that looked like me, you know, go to a school where a lot of students look like me, be a part of a program, you know, that can help me better myself on and off the field. So I just wanted to decide if I was going to UDC.
That's excellent. Awesome. Najee, let me ask you a question. What are you studying?
Criminal justice major.
Criminal justice. All right. Good for you. Awesome.
So let me go to Kalani here. He's been quiet off camera here as we've been talking before we started recording here. So first of all, congrats on scoring the first.
It's always the quiet ones you got to watch out for.
But we've got the guy on that scored the first goal ever in Virginia State program history. So congrats on that, first of all, Kalani.
Yes, thank you.
That's awesome. So second, have you been able to grasp the significance of this game coming up with UDC, or am I just blowing it out of proportion and you're just going game to game and really UDC is just, they are your next opponent. I know UDC, as we're filming, as we're recording this, actually the UDC team, they're up in a hotel waiting for their game against Georgian Court, which is tomorrow. So Kalani, what do you think about the significance of this game?
I think it's really awesome. You know, we're making history. You know, that's just great to me. And, you know, I'm excited. That's all I got. I'm excited, you know.
That's awesome. Now that Coach Merritt has given you grief that you left all the representation to your players, and they're holding their end up really well. But let me ask you this. When did you put this game on the calendar for this year with Coach Church? When did you guys decide that?
Oh, man, I can't even remember. But what I can say is I remember the women's team had theirs on their schedule. And then it kind of sprung up, like brought up the idea of all right, now we have to get this game on there as well. So I hit up Church, and then it was a done deal from there.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think? What does this game mean to you, being able to play another HBCU?
Like I said, last time I was on here, it's been a while to, you know, we've been waiting for other HBCUs to kind of come out of their shell and have lacrosse in their programs and, like, you know, start the journey for HBCU lacrosse.
That's great. I can't wait for it either. And like we just talked about in the intro, and Danny said it, it's growing the game. And if this can spur on other HBCUs to come in, I would love to see it in D2 personally, but you know, wherever they are, would be great. But I think that would be phenomenal.
Yeah.
So Julian, you have played in a lot of NCAA games. You've got a lot under your belt. Does this one, well, you've got, first of all, let me ask you, how are you guys feeling for George and Cordy? You ready for tomorrow?
Yeah, I think we're prepared for sure.
That's
I think we got some things we need to tidy up on, but other than that, I think we got we're ready.
That's awesome. I've been following all your Instagram posts, your stories, and your reels just to watch you guys in practice. So I'm excited to see you on the field for the first time. It's a good team you're playing. It'll be fun to watch. Does this one, then, when you play against Virginia State, do you think that's going to feel any different than other teams, or is it just it's just another team you've got to go after?
Honestly, I think it's going to be, I think it's kind of turned into a rivalry type game. So honestly, we're the only two schools in D2, HBCU D2 schools right now. So honestly, like, it's going to be a repeated thing, you know, it's going to be a thing that, you know, gains hype around the games every year, you know? So hopefully, I'm really excited about this game. I think it's going to feel different for sure. I think there's going to be a different level of grit that the HBCU guys have been waiting for.
We got to get a special trophy, man. You know, like Auburn, Alabama has that there every year. Whoever takes a trophy home
gets to bring it home with them.
And you know what? It's about bragging rights. I know you guys, you all want to get after it when that game comes. I know, you know, it's all nicey nice now, but when you step in between the lines, it's go time.
Yeah, it's all fun and games on Zoom. But when they get on the field against each other,
100%, man. Because when they step in, they want to. This is historic, so it's going to be the first one, you know. And then who's going to win? It's going to be big time bragging rights. And you know what? Hopefully, Coach Church and Coach Merritt can keep this thing going for a while, and make it even bigger than it's going to be.
I think that's something that's most definitely going to happen. I mean, I know it's a competition and this and that, but I don't want a bigger story also to not be told, which is how long me and Coach Merritt have actually known each other, how long we've competed each other, not only as coaches now, but how long we've competed against each other as just athletes as well. So, like I spoke on mine, I'm excited just to see a gentleman I've had the ability to watch as an athlete and now watch him as a coach. So to share the field with him, outside of the competition and stuff like that, that's really things that, I'm really looking forward to and that I'm enjoying again with just my path. It's great to see this. And more importantly, somebody who's my age, who I know that as long as I'm planning to stick it out here. Mo is cool. And I don't want people to lose sight of that another gentleman who is African American was given an opportunity to lead his team at the helm, just like me. And he's running in his way and he's already spinning stuff up and he has the juice going. So I don't want that to get lost in all the competition that we do have to. Hardworking African American men who are standing firm at their programs, and we're really going to both want to bring some noise in the future.
Coach Merritt, I think he's buttering you up, man.
Oh, he knows I'm not. He knows I'm not. That's the truth. This stuff is important.
Church has always been locked in, and this is who he will forever be. So I understand that he's going to come 100%. For that game, if not every game. So, you know, if I don't bring that type of energy, then I'll be doing a, you know, disservice to him as, you know, as a coach, as a friend, as somebody that we all competed against. Like, it's go time.
Let me ask you a question. What kind of lacrosse player was he?
Who, Church?
Yeah.
A dog.
Okay. Now he's buttering you up, Church.
we're both dogs, man. I'm trying to get him to jump on my pro team this summer, man. We got things going on in the future. But, no, he plays high-level Team Jamaica. You know, I play in the NLA, still moving around. And we both forget big fans of one another. It's deeper than just us being coaches now. We're, like, really big fans of one another. And we have a lot of, like friends and common people who are in their journeys and trying to impact this game. So, no, I'm the biggest competitor. Everybody know that. I'll go south side real quick. But I know when to talk to my brother and know when the moment is bigger also.
That's phenomenal, oh, man. That's this is awesome. Good. This is that's I didn't awesome. Know it went back that far.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Oh, that's one of my brothers. You guys, yeah, man, that's Nantucket.
You guys got to stick with your schools for a while. That's all I'm saying. Like, let's build these things both at UDC and Virginia State. Let's make something out of it. You guys then start competing for conference championships, and then who knows? Maybe it will be in the Natty, UDC against Virginia State. That would be phenomenal. But hey, Jace, let me ask you a question. I asked Najee this. I'm going to ask you the same question. What made you decide to go to Virginia State and play lacrosse?
I was the first commit, by the way, too. So,
oh, I love it. Jace
was the first commit? Wow. Yeah. Awesome, man.
So it was, when was it? I committed September,
Coach? September, early September.
I don't know. It was, for me, it was always a little bit more than just lacrosse. I wanted to choose a school that like felt right for me. Like I wanted to be able to, no matter what happened on the field, I would be able to go off the field and say, okay, these are my people. Like I enjoy like the school aspect of it. I'm a very comfortable person. So I just wanted to find an environment that I knew like would be best suited for me. And just, I always dreamed of an HBCU. Like I was always telling my parents, I was like, man, I would love to play at HBCU. It's just difficult because there's not many lacrosse teams. And it was actually my really good friend. He's on the team. He sent me coach's information when Coach Church was officially like selected as to be the head coach. And I reached out, sent him my film and everything. And we hopped on a phone call immediately after like my school day was over at 2:30. And we talked and we set up a visit. And as soon as even before I stepped foot on campus, I already knew. But as soon as like I stepped foot on campus and I shook like coach's hand, I was like, okay, like this is the place. And it just felt right. So after that, I was like, okay, like this is the spot where I want to be.
Oh, that's awesome. Now
you don't sound so like it was in the
bookstore. They come in the bookstore. So at the end of the tour, you're not
talking about the bookstore. I like it.
All the gear is in there.
There you go. Like,
hey, you know, there's a hoodie right there, the hat right there.
Oh, yeah, I shook his hand and I was like, yeah, I'm coming here, coach.
Awesome. And then you bought it. What'd you buy? Hat, a sweatshirt? Would you end up?
I think I bought some sweatpants and a shirt.
There you go.
Pajama pants.
Shirt.
Yeah.
So the inside question though, Jace, is since you'll be between the pipes, have you been watching any film on how to stop Julian?
Not yet. I think I'm just gonna, you know, coach's biggest thing always for me is just like, have fun. And that's always been my thing too. So I think film coaches, he harps on film a lot. And I've definitely been watching a lot more film than I used to in high school, which I think has already helped to improve my play. But, you know, we're going to get the film. We're going to watch it. But at the end of the day, it's that split second, like to react to the ball.
It's just, and if you're having fun, you're playing loose.
Exactly. Exactly. So I know this is a big game. But I'm just going to do my best to just go out there and have high energy and just stay positive and just do what I can to save whatever like balls come my way.
When you say have fun and be loose, I text my son before every game, hashtag loose and free. I just want that to be in his head, to be loose and free, because when he plays tight, he plays like shit, you know? He just grips that stick. He grips that stick too tight and he makes mistakes. But when he plays loose and free, he's as good as just about anybody that I can think of. He can play. But having fun. Jace, when you guys talk about that, you guys don't sound like freshmen, man. Like you sound older than your age. And that comes from home. Where are you from, Jace?
I'm from Laurel, Maryland, in PG County. So I'm over.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly where Laurel is. You're like a half hour from where I live in Fairfax County there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And Kalani, where are you from?
I'm from Aurora, Colorado.
Aurora, Colorado. Wow. What's it like for you to be on the East Coast, man?
It's great. I mean, I live in Florida now. I love it over here.
All right.
Yeah. Especially with the lacrosse and how popular it is over here. It's great.
So, yeah.
Najee, where are you from? If you went to Onondaga, are you up from New York? Are you?
I'm a tri-state kid. I'm from Bloomfield, Connecticut.
All right.
There you go. There you go.
Wow.
And Julian, just to round out all the players, where are you from?
Yeah. I'm from Sykesville, Maryland.
Couple Maryland kids.
What are you studying, Julian?
I'm studying, I graduated with my business management degree last semester, so now I'm doing my MBA.
Oh, wow. Good for you. Congratulations, that's man. Awesome. That's awesome. You can join the ranks of the unemployed soon. Just kidding. Yeah. Just kidding.
Not with that. He's got an MBA. I'll tell you what, that is phenomenal. He'd be having jobs handed to him.
No, good for you, Julian, man. That's big. That's huge, man. Getting your master's. And hey, for you young guys, you listening, Jason, Kalani, you know, these guys are going to get their master's. They're taking that level, that education level to the next level. And that's just going to, more success is going to come their way because of that. It's all about the school, fellas. It's all about the grades, you know, and you can't even play lacrosse unless you got the grades. You know what I'm saying? So the grades are everything. There's nothing worse than a coach telling a kid, listen, man, I can't let you play. Your grades didn't, you know, that's a tough thing, right, Coach Merritt?
Real tough.
Dreamy tough. Dreamy tough. So let me flip this around. I have to ask this question to the coaches and really the players. You can chime in. I'm really curious to hear if you've had any feedback from like alumni or other coaches or, you know, your school on this game that's coming up that you two are going to play.
George, you want to go? I think around Thursday. Once after they played their first game of the season, and I think both sides will probably start
rapping. Chirping.
Not even chirping. I just think promoting it, talking about it. I think UDC's focus, respectfully, is their first game. And
sure
they have a good first outing with Georgie and Court, and they start their season off with a dub. But I think both schools know what it is. And with our ladies playing also, I think just both schools by Thursday, they're going to personally wrap it up. I mean, I know I have friends who already reached out and, you know, they're making a truck down. And I know the same thing probably for Coach Merritt, that people are making arrangements to travel down. So on the black web, we'll call it, it's out there.
Hey, now, are the girls playing the same day? Are they playing?
Yeah, they're playing at 1 o'clock. Yeah.
Oh, that is so awesome.
Yeah.
That's
a fun day.
That is amazing. Like a double historical day, one for the ladies and one for the young men, man. Coach Merritt, anybody reached out to you about this game?
Yeah, everybody. I actually had a meeting yesterday with the president. So we had a basketball game, and he spoke to me. He said that, he's anticipating this game. He's not going to be there, but, you know, it just means something for the HBCUs to actually have this program, you know, develop a lacrosse team and then go somewhere with this. So he actually reminded me that, you know, it's our 10th year as a program. Wow. And, you know, when I came in 2013 to realize where we're at now, to even see that there's another program, to see that, you know, the success can go for another 10, especially for church, that, you know, that's something that we kind of want for this to grow. And that's what I'm looking for.
That's awesome. We talk about it, and Danny said it before, growing the game. And you know, we're growing it geographically, but if we can grow it through diversification, God, that would be so awesome to see. I mean, just make the game the way our country is demographically made up, right? Like that would be just phenomenal to do. And that's your two teams are on the precipice and at the forefront of this. And that's what excites me so much about coming down and seeing this game on Saturday. So I just want to thank both teams for coming on. I know you have busy schedules. That, you know, Virginia State, they're tired and worn out from playing their game today. And I know UDC, they're ramped up and ready to go for tomorrow against Georgian Court. But thank you guys so much for coming on. It was a blast having you on. And we can't wait to watch your whole season this year and see what you guys can do, both teams. But of course, we're excited for February 17th.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely.
Fellas, you guys have been phenomenal guests tonight. And Coach Merritt and Coach Church, we've had you guys on before. And, you know, Kevin and I were going back and forth. We're like, we got to have them back on. You know, it means too much. And you guys are good guys too, you know, and that's what I like. That's the one thing about this game of lacrosse. Again, like Kevin said, we never played. We never coached. If I played, I'd be a middie. I'll tell you that right now. I'd be a middie. Yeah. Because middies rule. I don't give a shit what anybody says. Middies rule. But, the game, I love the game and what it means and what it stands for. And, my kids grew up on Long Island. So that there was a net every 30 yards. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody's got a net up here. And now what I'm seeing, being a New Yorker, I'm seeing it start to grow into the inner cities. Brooklyn Crescents. In Brooklyn, they're starting to get a lacrosse club going. Up in the Bronx, they're starting to get, it's starting to come together in the inner city now. And you're seeing young black kids with a stick saying, I don't want to play baseball, man. I want to play lacrosse. Like, that sport is fun. And you know what? To see young black kids with a stick in their hand is just really cool to me. Because I was a basketball kid and I was the only white kid on my basketball team in high school. So, you know what I mean? So, like, when I see that, I kind of relate opposite ways. You know what I'm saying? And it goes both ways, believe it or not. You know, like, being the only white kid on a basketball team that was, like, going to the States. I actually got run, too, man. I was actually, like, the seventh guy off the bench. I got some burn, man. I could play. I was quick. You know, I could play defense and stuff. But to see the way the game is going and to have two historically black colleges go at it in NCAA for the first time is nothing short of just phenomenal. And I am excited to see the game. And I wish all you guys the best of luck. Guys, keep studying, study hard, and get those degrees, man, and continue to be a successful young man and follow your dreams. And thank you so much for coming on. You guys have been great, great guests tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Danny, did you know that Coach Church and Coach Merritt go back so far?
That was a great interview, man. Those guys, you know what? I give them guys all the credit in the world. They like each other. They know each other a long time. And look what they're doing. They're doing something that they love, and they're building cultures at these programs. Merritt's been there a long time. Church is just starting this out, you know, and starting his program out. This fact that the two HBCU schools are going at it in the game of lacrosse for the first time in the NCAA, I think it's truly remarkable. And these guys, they were great guests. These kids are good guests. And hey, the two older guys are getting their degrees from UDC, and these younger guys were like, wow, looking up to these guys. What a cool interview. One of my favorites so far, Kev.
Yeah, it was great. I was really impressed with the caliber of student athlete. You know, we talk about this all the time, and it's going to take them a while to get up to the level of players. And it's even probably tougher to do it from an HBCU, from the pool of players that are out there to get there, right? But if you look and when you talk to these players, and you said it, they all sound older and wiser than they are, and they come across, they have great reasons for doing what they're doing. And it did not start with, I want to play lacrosse. It's like, where do I want to go to school?
Yeah.
What is going to fit me? And that is exactly what we have been saying for a couple of years now, as we've had recruiters on and everything else, right?
Right.
You've got to pick the right place to be and play lacrosse. And so the fact that Black athletes have this opportunity now, if they play lacrosse, to continue playing in college and schools like UDC and Virginia State and add in Hampton, is phenomenal.
It's great. You know, that this game of lacrosse, Kevin, I can't tell you how much it's changed my life. You know, how much I've gone through in the last 20 years of this game, and just what I've seen from it. Again, I never played the game, but just what I've seen my kids get out of it. And then through this podcast, what I see that these coaches go through and these players are going through, and how they go about and approach their lives and their games and their schools and their studies. And I just think it's a great thing. And you're going to have a lot of fun down there this weekend to see that. That's going to be very interesting.
I'm looking forward to it.
Get some pictures. They need a trophy. They got to get some kind of trophy. That
they do.
They got to make it a rivalry. They got to do it, man. They got to do it. So Coach Merritt and Coach Church and you guys who came on, thank you so much for coming on. That was a great interview. One of my favorites so far, Kev.
Totally agree. All right. As we end, do you have any shout outs for this week?
Oh, yeah. I got a shout out. How about Wingate attackman Willie Greco, third all-time NCAA assist man, over 200 assists, third in Division II all-time, 10th in all of NCAA all-time. Congratulations, Willie.
That's amazing. That's awesome. Okay, I've got one, and I already talked about it, but I got to shout him again. And that's Austin Jones, the goalie for North Greenville. And that's because of the comeback kid, I'll call him, for this past week. He did not have a great game against Catawba. He had a great game against Anderson, and I think he deserves a shout-out.
All right.
What else do you have?
Oh, well, I got to give a shout-out to the redshirt freshman attack from Wingate. How about it? Sean Clark, 5 goals and 2 assists, named to the U.S. ILA Team of the Week, and was SAC Offensive Player of the Week. So shout out to Sean Clark.
That's awesome. He had an unbelievable game. Okay, here's my next shout out, and it goes to the first ever goal scorers for their team. So I'm going to go down. We already talked about it a little bit. We've already done it, but they deserve a separate shout out at the end, and here it goes. For Virginia State, it was Kalani Laughlin.
Yay.
For Holy Family, it was James Biennia.
Yeah, James.
Olivier LaPlante for William Jewell had the first goal ever. And then for Tiffin was Isaac Wirt. So congratulations, boys.
Congrats, fellas. You have any more?
I've got one more.
One more as well. Go ahead.
Okay, mine is to Eric George of Chouan. He now has, in his career, over 200 points.
That's just amazing. I tell you, he's been around for a couple of years. He's a really good player. And if you go into the stat books on NCAA.com, you always see Eric George's name near the top. Yeah. Always see his name near the top. So he's one of those players. He's like the Archie Manning for the Saints, like just a great player on a team that's kind of struggles from time to time.
Yeah.
He's one of those players. Eric George, shout out. Good shout out. And last but not least, Kev, I got a DM from a listener this week, a Long Island guy, a guy I worked with, Greg Hansen. All right. Greg shot me a DM and said, "You guys need to start doing a daily podcast. I need more." Yeah, he's crazy. He needs more to listen to on his commute back from Manhattan every day. So shout out to Greg Hansen. Are you out of your mind? It takes enough just to do this one a week.
We have day jobs, unfortunately. If we were getting paid more, I would do it. But I don't have that.
And really kind of cool thing is that Greg's daughter, I believe, is a junior in high school, committed to Wingate University to play women's lacrosse. So
awesome.
Shout out to my man, Greg.
Hey, and I love his enthusiasm and his passion that he thinks we actually should do something once every day.
Wait till he hears this. He's going to laugh, boy. I know. I can't wait. My phone will be ringing for sure.
I don't even know. I think we just have to end there and call it a wrap, Danny.
That's a wrap. That was a good. This was a good week, Kev. A lot of stuff going on, and the HBCU stuff. A great week of lacrosse, and another one coming up. And that's a wrap.